I really like New Year and I don't like New Year at the same time. I sent out an email to those of you who we have your email address. And there's always like an expectation and a fear, like right at the beginning of the year. How many of you ever tried the workout diet plan called 75 Hard? Anybody? You did. How many times have you finished it? Okay, so here's the deal with 75 Hard. 75 days, it's a whole routine of getting up at a certain time, drinking a certain amount of water, reading a book, and working out twice a day for 45 minutes each time. And the second time, or the first time, whichever one you do, it has to be outside in the elements. It's kind of hardcore. It's kind of a tough one. And there's a couple other things too, diet plan, all that. Well, you know what happens if you miss a day on 75 Hard? On day one. That's how I feel about a new year. I feel like sometimes when a new year starts, like I am ready to start the year over again on January 2nd. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that there is something about our culture, and I think there's something maybe about the way we were brought up or maybe the way we've treated New Year before, is New Year just kind of comes with this set of expectations. And, you know, I mean, really, it is kind of a good way to mark new things, right? But if we're going off the Jewish calendar, the New Year's in April. If we're going off the Chinese calendar, it's February, late January. It's later, right? So that's when I started to realize, like, New Year is a little bit of a false measurement. In the sense that I'm speaking for myself, but if you agree, then say amen. We set ourselves up, maybe unrealistically. And I think God wants us to live in a realm of reality. You know, I found out that some of you kids, when you go to school and you take this thing called winter break, it keeps going like forever. And you don't go back until like the second week of January. And then you went to school this last week, right? Yeah. So that's what I remember, you know, January 1st, if it was a holiday, you had that, but the next day you were in school, right? And so there's all these kind of start and stop days and milestones, and it's easy actually to get discouraged by them and to set ourselves up for disappointment, maybe set ourselves up a little bit for failure. And the message that I sent in this email, the message that I really felt that God was teaching me is just slow down, wait on the Lord, and just take it a day at a time. Like if January 1st meant something to you and you've already kind of fumbled the ball, to use a football expression, then pick it back up and just keep moving that ball forward right from where you're at. Because I think God wants us not to have a vision for these calendar events, although God does play by a calendar. He has his own calendar. But he wants us to keep in step with him day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. And so what he's doing today may have nothing to do with what he did yesterday. And it may be very different than what's going to happen tomorrow. Because God's dynamic in how he works. Oh, he's absolutely a steel rod when it comes to his nature and his character and the truth. Those don't change with the times. But God meets people where they're at. God met us where we were at. He met us in whatever situation, whether you're hyper-religious or hyper-anti-religious, and everything in between. God meets us where we're at. And so when it comes to a vision, and I always wrestle this at the beginning of the year, like setting expectations, setting a vision for a new year, setting your New Year's resolutions, right? How do you do that and do it in a way that keeps us joyful in God, keeps us walking with God? And so today, I want to talk about a vision for thriving. Thriving is a word that God gave me for myself and I think for our church a year ago. And as we are leading up to this new year, and I'm starting to give in to that new year, new things, right? New year, new me. It's like, what have I already told you? Thriving. What does that look like for you now? Because thriving for me now may look different than it did a year ago. But thriving, I think, is where God wants us. It's where God has purpose for us to be in Christ. That if you are an athlete and you are practicing, over time you become a better athlete. And you thrive in that when you apply some things about your physical fitness and your diet and this word called practice, right? And so in every area of life, there's these things where what we're doing, we're just building on that which is already life-giving, that which is good and honorable to the Lord and brings glory to Him. Romans chapter 12 says that when our mind is renewed, we're able to dial in, we're able to understand what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's not for January 1st alone. That's also for July 13th and March 4th and December 3rd and every other day of the calendar. So today, as I talk about this, it is the first of the year and it is kind of a new thing, but I don't want to talk about this like this is a new revelation. But to look at what God's vision is for all of us all along. And I think that's a vision to thrive, a vision to have an abundant life. That's the term that Jesus would use. I've come that they may have life and life more abundantly. And abundantly is the idea of overflowing. Certain things you don't want overflowing. You don't want your coffee cup overflowing, right? Because then it gets all over the place. Now, you would like the coffee supply to not run out. That's an idea of overflowing. I would like my bank account to be overflowing. Yes, right? But there's so many things inside of us that God wants to overflow. He wants to thrive. So I hope that as we talk a little bit about God's vision for thriving and how that applies to us as a local church, we'll also find application for our everyday life. Sound like a plan? All right, let's say a prayer and just invite the Lord. Just speak clearly to us today, Father. Your word is more than enough. Even as we sang that song, Lord, I think of how often, even as a teacher, as a preacher, Lord, I can just say stuff. And I don't want to just say stuff. Lord, I want to say that which is from your heart and from your word. And so, Lord, today, by your Spirit, just may every word that gives life, every word that honors you, that speaks your truth, Lord, may that be what settles in each one of our hearts. And Lord, give us clarity. Give us a vision. Help us to see your vision that you are unfolding, that you are working out, that is already taking place. And Lord, may we be messengers. May we be deliverers of your message to this world. A message of thriving, a message of life, of vitality. In Jesus' name, amen. Habakkuk, you know where that is? How fast can you get there in your Bible? One of those often overlooked, they call them the minor prophets. It's unfortunate that theologians have named it the minor prophets. It's like, if you're an athlete, do you want to play in the major leagues or the minor leagues? Right? So it kind of gives the idea of, you know, less importance. It's not less important. Less words. These are the guys who were straight to the point, right? They didn't waste time on 60 chapters like Isaiah did. I shouldn't say waste time, but I didn't mean to say it that way. So what happens when I talk too much? But in Habakkuk is literally, as a prophet of God, complaining to God. So if you have some complaints about God, how God does things, why God doesn't explain stuff to you, read Habakkuk or Habakkuk, however you want to say it. But Habakkuk, in the middle of his complaints, the Lord answered me, he says. Habakkuk 2:2. And this is what he says, write the vision. Get out a pen, get out a scroll, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets, okay? Want a little extra work there, Mr. Complainer? Grab out the hammer and chisel. Let's put on some stone tablets. Here's why. So he may run who reads it. This is why it's good to write some things down. If you do, in fact, have New Year's resolutions, the best way to meet those goals is to write them down. Put them on a vision board by your bed. Put them on a whiteboard in your house, on your calendar, in a notebook, wherever you're going to look at it and see it every day. How many of you have post-it notes on your dashboard in your car? Anybody? Okay. All right. I've done that before. What does it take? What he is saying, God, to Habakkuk, okay, you're done complaining. Grab a hammer and chisel, grab a pen, write down what I'm about to tell you. I'm going to give you vision. Okay, vision is a couple of things. It's seeing what is not yet reality, or it's having clarity to that which is reality in front of us. It's kind of two sides of the same coin. God wants you to have both a vision for what is not yet a reality, but he also wants us to have a vision clarity for what's right in front of us. I love doctors. I go to them all the time, which is totally not true. But I went to a doctor this last Tuesday. I told you a couple of months ago, I was having some internal issues. And my doctor said, you need to do this. You must do this. You have to do this. Now, just imagine Mr. Rogers as your doctor, because that's this doctor. And Mr. Rogers gets serious and says, you must do this. You know what he just did for me? He gave me vision. He gave me clarity. He gave me something that radically changed my life on Tuesday. So thankfully, there's no donuts today. But even if there are, I won't be eating donuts. Not because I don't like them, I love them. But because Mr. Rogers, the doctor, said, you must. That's what I'm talking about, vision. When God says, I want you to write something down, A, I'm going to give you an expectation of that which is not reality yet, but B, I'm going to give you clarity on that which is reality now. And that's what we need in our life. I need that more on January 7th than I do on January 1st. I need God's clarity for what is now. Here's what God gives in Isaiah chapter 43. This is a foundational scripture for the origin of River Community Church, found in Isaiah 43. The scriptures will be up here if you're looking for them. If you have a Bible, that's great. Use your Bible. If you have a Bible app, that's awesome. But we put it up here because sometimes it's just easier to keep looking forward, right? In Isaiah 43, 16 through 21, we see God's vision for new life where there is none. Think of an area of your life that is dead. Okay, it might be a dream, a hope, an expectation you had. It might have been a relationship that is no longer a relationship in your life. It may have been an expectation of what God was going to do in you, or a job that you had that was going to get you to a certain place in life, and you're just not there. There's no life. And God wants us to have life. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to have a vision for a reality of life to come, but a reality of life in front of us now. So he's speaking to his people, Israel, who were in a wilderness place, okay, a desert place. We can kind of relate to the desert, right? Further south and west or east you go, it gets dry. Like down in southern Utah, Arizona. I have friends who say, I love Arizona. I think it's too hot and too dry for me. You know, I grew up by the ocean, so my expectations are different. But here, God is speaking to his people who are in a figurative and literal desert place. And this is what God says. So here says a word from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea. We just sang about that, right? A path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down and they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. This kind of gives you the imagery of when God brought his people out of Egypt and the army of Egypt was chasing him. What did he do? He opened the sea. He led them through the sea. And then that massive army came through and an empire came to an end. In a moment, God brings down empires. But he says, remember not the former things. What was the trap of the Israeli people as they traveled from Egypt to Canaan? The trap was to keep looking back and saying, we had it so much better in Egypt. Guess what we had in Egypt that we don't have in the desert? We had onions and leeks. Seriously, that was the complaint that they brought to Moses. We had onions. We don't have onions in the desert. Well, yeah, dude, you're in the desert. You got to get to a place where you can grow onions. But just think about that, that you are so consumed with the past that you're saying, I wish I still had onions. I learned something about onions, totally unrelated to the message, is I cannot eat onions at a restaurant because they've been cut hours before you eat them. And when that happens, there's like enzymes that start to go to work, and those enzymes go straight to your armpits. You know what I'm talking about? You know exactly what I'm talking about. That's why the best onions are fresh cut. Like, cut them, eat them. Okay? So think about that. You want onions? You want old onions? You want to walk around smelling funny? That's your idea of a thriving life? And so God says, remember not the onions of the past. Remember not the former things, the old things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a... Yes. God is always doing a new thing in alignment with his character, in alignment with his truth, but he's always doing new things. And he says, now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I formed for myself that they might declare my praise. Why does God want us to have life? Why does he bring waters in the desert? Why does he bring life where there is no life? Because he wants us to declare his praise. God made us to worship. He made us to praise him. He made us to give him glory. And we give him glory in the thriving. And so he provides the things to us so that we may thrive. It was January of 2016, and I was in a condition where I didn't think that things would change. And then they changed over the next year. But in January 2016, the Lord gave me this verse for my life. I was seeking God in a new year. My birthday was at this time, and I was like, Lord, 2016, what's new for me? He says, I'm doing new things, rivers in the desert. I had no idea what that meant. A year later, January, around my birthday, he did the same thing, and he brought clarity with this verse. And that's where the vision, little known to me, for River Community Church was born, through this church. He wants to do new things. He wants to do fresh things. He wants to bring life where there is no life. It does not mean, and I'm going to just say that, I'm going to put this right out there, it does not mean that what River Community Church is doing is better than everybody else. What it means is there's an invitation to life, to new life, to new things. That's how God works. And so when we're attached to the past, when we're attached to old things, when we're looking for the onions in the desert, because the desert is hard, and In-N-Out's grilled onions on a burger is just great, right? God is saying, I want to do new things with you. I want to move you into new things. I want to bring life where there is no life, water where it's dry. I want to bring vitality where it's needed so that we may declare his praise. So we might be worshiping people, praising people, grateful people, joyful people. God wants you to be that. And so God gives this vision of new life where there's no life. And then Jesus, when he shows up, John chapter 7, another verse that is foundational for our church and why we're called River Community Church, John 7, 37 through 38, Jesus is now carrying God's vision into reality for all of us, for every person. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Notice God is giving his people a vision for waters where there is no water, for life where there is no life. And Jesus said, you know where that's going to be coming from? Right here, right out from your heart. Why does Jesus articulate it as rivers of living water coming from within? Because all of us at one time in our life, maybe even now, we're searching for life outside of ourselves. We look for it in relationships. We look for it in careers. We look for it in money. We look for it in success. We look for it in recognition. Okay. We're looking for it in the likes on social media, the views on YouTube. Different people, different things, but we're all looking for life outside of us. And God is saying, I want to come inside of you. I want to live inside your heart. I want to bring life from within. That's the life that every person can have by faith in Jesus. And you don't have to be going to River Community Church to find that life. You have to be coming to Jesus. And so Jesus shows up and he says, if you're thirsty and this world is not satisfying your thirst, come to me and I will satisfy that thirst. Isaiah 55, I want to read this chapter. Here's God's vision fulfilled. It looks like thriving people. Isaiah 55, starting in verse 1. Does this sound familiar? Come, everyone who thirsts. Isn't that what Jesus just said? If you thirst, come to me and drink. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if you go to the grocery store and milk was free? And for some, if wine was free, that'd be all right. And that's what God is inviting us to. He's inviting us to good things that don't cost money. You can't buy with money. It doesn't matter. You know, remember the MasterCard commercials? It's priceless. You can't use your MasterCard. The things of God are without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? This is a story of humanity just laboring for things that die, that rust, that fade, that we're going to lose, or that when we die, we can't take with us, right? And so why do you spend your money for those things? Why do you labor for what doesn't satisfy? Listen diligent to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Every single time I see listen, I think of the late Charles Stanley as he would preach and he would say, now listen now, you hear, listen. He's trying to get your attention. Pause, listen, tune in. God is saying, listen, eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, lean in and come to me and hear that your soul may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Okay, this idea of David's throne being succeeded by the Messiah, Jesus, the son of David. Behold, I made him a witness to the people, the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, I shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the idea that there are going to be people outside of the Jewish community who are going to be coming to Jerusalem. Coming to Zion, not this Zion, the Zion in the Middle East, God's Zion, coming to him. So he's giving them vision of life fulfilled. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Do you think you've done something that God can't forgive? Hear very clearly, get vision right in front of you, the reality in front of you. God abundantly pardons. He abundantly forgives. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think like you do. See, you and I, we think that there's things that we can do that totally turn God off, that make God turn his back on us and walk away. And God's saying, I abundantly pardon. I'm merciful, I'm kind, I want to give life, I'm going to pardon your sins. See, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, everybody look out the window, for as that fluffy stuff comes down, same way, and does not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty. But it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. This is the reason why I invited people as a church just to read through the Bible together. And you got your own Bible plan. That's cool. In the Word every day. Here's God's promise. My word goes forth from my mouth and it's going to accomplish everything I intended to accomplish. You want to be in alignment with God's best and blessing for your life? Is this, am I oversimplifying it? I think so, but it's okay. If I'm not in the Word every day and I'm feeling like I have a lack of vision, I'm going to tell you where the quick solution is. It's right here. God says, I've got some truth in here, some principles in here, some realities in here that are not just letters on a page. They're the spoken, creative, authoritative, powerful word of God that makes its way from His mouth to our hearts through our listening ears. And so, especially those of you who are young, really young, and you're not sure what to do about the Bible and not everything about it makes sense, just get into it. And those of you who are older, like me and others, every day is a new day to get into the Word of God. How many of you would make a bologna and cheese sandwich with mustard and mayo? Nice. Nice. That's my man right there. With fresh cut onions. Put it in the fridge and eat it in 3 weeks. Okay? You wouldn't, okay? Here's another thing. How many of you would eat that sandwich and assume it's going to get you through for another 3 weeks? And we do that with God's Word. We come to God's Word and we read the Bible today, and 3 weeks from now, we can't figure out why we have no clue what to do with our life. Because it's been 3 weeks since we've read the Word. And sometimes God will give you a word for today, and 3 weeks from now, we think that's still fresh. We think that's still new. When God led the people of Israel through the desert out of their captivity in Israel to the promised land, He provided for them manna every morning and a little extra before the Sabbath so they didn't have to work and collect on the Sabbath. Why did He do it every morning? Because He wanted them to trust Him, as Jesus said, for their daily bread. And when those who hoarded opened up their collection the next day, it was full of maggots. It was rotten. Because God was teaching them, I have a fresh word for you every day. I have bread of life for you every day. And Jesus says, pray for your daily bread. So I want to encourage you with that. Like the reason why we spend time in the old words of the Word of God, because they're still giving life today. He's still speaking new things. He's still communicating fresh truth to us every day. Things I didn't see the same way yesterday or a year ago or 10 years ago. He's speaking now. He wants us to hear Him now and to listen. Listen carefully. That's what we say to our kids, right? Listen. Wasn't there like that one social media meme? Linda, listen. Linda, listen.
Yeah.
My brain. I got a. Anyway. Here's a few things in this scripture. Everyone is thirsty and hungry for life. Everyone is looking for fulfillment in things that seem to give life, but in the end, they all come to an end. But in God is found real life. So He says in verse 1 of Isaiah 55, come to Him. He says in verse 2, listen to Him. He says in verse 3, incline your ear and come to Him and listen to Him that your soul might live. You know why He keeps saying listen? Because we don't. So listen. Seek Him and call upon Him. Return to Him, verse 6 and 7. His thoughts and His ways are above your thoughts and your ways. If you think, if you've ever thought, if you ever think in the future that you're smarter than God, you're not. And it's okay that I don't know everything. It's okay that I don't know very much. Because God's ways are higher than mine, and His thoughts are higher than mine. And if I press into Him, I'm going to hear words that bring life, verse 10 and 11. And I'm going to know how to walk in a way that leads to a thriving life. So as a church, about River, we want to walk in a vision of people thriving in Jesus. Last year, we talked about thriving together. It's kind of like an in-house message, right? Like a family talk. You ever have family talks? You don't invite the neighbors over for family talk, right? You have a family talk. But then at some point, it's, hey, family, this is God's commission. We got to go make disciples. And we got to bring more people into the family. There's more men and women, boys and girls who need to be adopted into the family of God. And God is just going to place us where they are so we can bring them in. I think about this every Sunday morning. There's a gentleman who works next door and he stops in and he pays respects and he keeps going. There's something here. I don't. He's tuning into it. God's calling him, right? How many more people just in this complex are seeing our little sign here? We still got to get a big sign for up there. Pray that God provides for that, all right? But we're praying that God would make a difference through our church out there. But if we're a people who are thriving because we're walking close to God, we're listening to him, we're coming to him, we're receiving his water of life, then the people around us are going to see that somehow. And not only that, but when we are thriving, we want people to thrive with us. It really is no, at least for me, it's no fun to eat a whole thing of Oreo cookies by myself. It isn't. That's why whenever we have Oreos here, or whenever I'm always at home, everybody gets one until they run out. Now, I can't eat Oreos right now, but if I had Oreos, I would share it with you. And that's what this life that God gives us is like. We want to share it because it's enjoyable. It's good. Now, the things of God are healthy and eternal. Oreos are not, but that's okay. We're allowed a little bit of joy on this planet, right? So as a church, River, if I could summarize what we want as a church, what our vision is to see people thriving in Jesus. We do that by simply following Jesus. We have it written over here. Who we are as a church, you're going to find this on our website, okay? We're located in South Jordan, Utah. I want you to think about that. How many of you don't live in South Jordan, Utah? Look at us. What the heck are we doing in South Jordan? Think about it. I think it's a good question to ask. Why are we in South Jordan? We started in West Jordan. I thought we'd be in West Jordan forever. It's because it's where I lived. But you know what God provided? The South Jordan Community Center. And we met there for 2 years, and a lot of you helped load in and load out. And now we're in this place in South Jordan that I believe God clearly provided for us. And so here we are in South Jordan, the heart of Salt Lake Valley. Take a look at a map of Salt Lake. And you know where we are? Practically in the middle. Practically in the middle. And if you understand what's going on with the city of South Jordan, it is changing the Salt Lake Valley. The pride and joy, speaking of minor prophets and minor leagues, the Bees, the Salt Lake Bees, guess where they're going? South Jordan. That way. They're building a mega stadium out there, right? Okay, God's doing something here in the middle of the valley. And is it city limits? Yes, but it is also outside of those city limits. But I think it's important for us to underline the fact that we are in South Jordan, the heart of the Salt Lake Valley. River Community Church is a local Christian fellowship. It's easy to think globally as Christians, right? We get involved with Operation Christmas Child. We get involved with missionaries who go around the world. But it's important to see ourselves also as a local church, planted where we're planted. We're a fellowship made up of ordinary people devoted to simply following Jesus and his word. The invitation on our website to any person, you're invited to thrive together with us as we gather to worship, grow in community, and go on mission. Why do we exist? That's a good question. Why do you exist? Why are you here? Do you have an answer for that? You should. God said to praise me. That's a good place to start. But do we know why we exist? We exist to build God's kingdom. We're not trying to exist some big River Community Church empire. We're looking to build God's kingdom one heart at a time. You know what you don't need to build one heart at a time? A church building. Church buildings are great because it gives us a central place to meet, but you don't need a church building to build God's kingdom. You need to have a heart for people. And so we seek to build God's kingdom one heart at a time to help as many people as possible become thriving followers of Jesus, whose lives overflow. That's what Jesus said, right? Living waters, maybe it looks like faith, hope, and love to the world around us. What do we value? Somebody do me a favor. Luke, would you flip that banner around? Worship, community, mission. These are things that we value. It's not limited to this. The overarching thing that we value is love. You'll walk out the door, and if the sign's right there by the door, it says love is our mission. Because God so loved the world that he gave, that he sent. And so that's our mission, is to love. But in worship, we believe that thriving followers of Jesus will be devoted worshipers of God. So we choose to gather together to worship as an expression of our love for God together. Community. Why do we value community? We believe thriving followers of Jesus will be devoted to God's people. So we seek to grow in community as an expression of love for one another, resulting in a thriving local church. This is why getting together in your homes is important. You don't have to be a formally structured small group to do that, but practice hospitality and invite people into your life and into your home and build community that way. Mission. We believe thriving followers of Jesus will be devoted to God's mission. So we go on mission to love the world God loves, engaging every person we meet with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is my hope for you and for us on a Sunday or any other time we gather together collectively that you're being equipped to engage people in the conversations about Jesus. Because you have to go to your workplace tomorrow or your school tomorrow, your neighborhood this afternoon. You have to go where you're going. I'm not going with you. And you're not coming with me most of the time, right? We're all scattering from here. So what can we keep in common? Lord, I'm a missionary. I'm on a mission. I've gathered to worship. You made us to worship. I'm growing in community. Now, Lord, send me on mission, the mission of your love, to reach as many people as we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do we believe? Well, we do have a statement of faith. It's found on our website. It's also in one of the drawers back there. So if you want to grab one of those before you leave, or you can go to our website and click, our website changed a little bit. Click our website, click about, and go to beliefs. That's where it's at. What we believe determines how we worship and live our lives as followers of Jesus. Upholding God's truth as proclaimed in his word, the Bible, we seek unity in primary matters, like salvation. How does one get saved? Who is God? Who is Jesus? Who is the Holy Spirit? What is sin? What is God's plan for sin and salvation? Okay, those are all primary things. Grace and secondary matters. Okay, you ready for a secondary matter? Whether you should speak in tongues or not? Want to hear another secondary matter? Whether or not angels... No, never mind. Sorry, I was going to say something stupid. Yeah, I'm just going to stop. There's a lot of secondary matters that we get in arguments over. Water baptism, that's one. Should a person be fully immersed or can they be sprinkled? What is the heart of baptism? Is that one would believe in Jesus? And grace in secondary matters, love in all things. The reality is thriving. That's where we want to be. Are you thriving as a follower of Jesus? If you're not, the invitation of Jesus, of God the Father, is the same as it's always been. Come to me. Open his word. Say, God, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to hear what you have to say. I'm ready to receive what you want to give. I'm ready to take into my life what you've made available all along. I want to challenge every single one of you this week. Ask God. Talk to him personally. Say, Lord, where do you want me to thrive? Where am I not thriving that you want me to thrive? And I believe he will give you vision for that. I believe he will give you clarity in that. It might come in the form of a scripture passage. It might come in the form of a worship song that you listen to. It might come in the form of your spouse speaking something and you realizing, oh, God is speaking through my spouse. It might be a totally unexpected place. But God is ready to speak. He has a message for you, a message of clarity, a message of vision, and he wants you to thrive. It's where we want to be. So I believe that the vision that God has for us is a vision that kind of surpasses New Year's Day in January. It's a vision to thrive. And what he wants to thrive is what's inside of us. He wants our lives to be gushing forth living water, to be overflowing with life, with joy, with faith, with hope, with love to the world around us. Husbands and wives, God wants you to thrive in your marriage. He really does. It doesn't matter how long you've been married or how little you've been married. There's some who are not yet married who are planning to get married. God wants you to thrive. And some of you have relationships with friends, with family. Things are strained, and you just know, boy, if somebody would just apologize. Oh, maybe God just spoke to you. If somebody would just apologize. I know, it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it has to be us. And so I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you this week. Go to God and say, God, what do you want me to thrive in? For some of you, you've had those moments where you're supposed to speak to somebody and you hold back. Another Christian you're supposed to pray for, an unbeliever who you just want to tell them about God. You just want to talk about life. And maybe that's an area that God's wanting to build your faith, give you boldness and courage to step out and to speak in those times where you've been holding back and you've been afraid. So we want to thrive. Let me read this again. I think this is very important, a very first verse, Habakkuk 2:2. The Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. The reason I think this is so important is God wants us to run the race of life well. And he gives us clarity. He gives us vision. And so if you feel like you're running aimlessly, running into walls, running in the dark, running off the path. Maybe it's time to take what God has already written, the vision, and say, Lord, give me clarity. Help me to run well with this. And I think in the doing of that, he will give you specific vision and specific clarity for your life. And you don't have to wait 358 days until January 1st, 2025. He can start today. God's written it down. He's put it on tablets for us. He's made it plain. Now we can run with clarity. We can run with vision. We can run with thriving. That's God's plan for us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the clarity that you give to us in your word. Thank you, Lord, that this is not some sort of mystery for well-educated people or those who've been to some sort of enlightened mountaintop experience with you. Lord, you are found in the valleys. You are found in the desert places. And you bring life. You bring rivers and streams in the deserts, in the wildernesses, in the barren places. And so your heart for us, Lord, is thriving. Your heart for us, Lord, is that we be life-giving people because we've received that life that comes from you, the life that only you can give. And so, Lord, for those of us who are still kind of grasping for something on a temporal level to satisfy us, Lord, may we find our fulfillment, our satisfaction, and our thirst quenched in you and you alone. And when we're talking to that man, to that woman who's struggling with drugs, with alcohols, with addictions of all sorts, with pursuit of this world, they're going to fail. Lord, may you give us boldness and courage to say, there's a better way. There's life. There's vitality. There's thriving in knowing Jesus and walking in God's best for every one of us. So Lord, put us back into alignment. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We don't have to wait till January 1st. We don't have to wait till a Monday. Lord, your mercy is new and fresh and abundant today. And so, Lord, give us vision. Give us clarity. May we walk in the knowledge of your life, of your love, of your grace. And as a church, may we thrive together in worship and community and mission, and may we be a light. May we be a shining city on a hill here in South Jordan and beyond. Show us what that looks like as we move into 2024 and beyond. Thank you for your life. In Jesus' name, amen.